this morning. Our God reigns. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Oh, give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. How many of you enjoyed camp meeting here last night? Amen. You know what? They have camp meetings scattered out all through the country, different times through the year. We have camp meeting every service. Not just because it's Happy Valley, but because God meets with us. That's what makes the difference. Are you glad about it this morning? Do you love him with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, before we do anything else, why don't you turn around, smile at somebody, give them a nice warm handshake, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that, gentlemen. Let's say it some more if you will. Stand with me just for a few minutes. Let's look at these prayer requests. Susanna Wyko wants us to remember Pat Davis from Wisconsin has stage 3 ovarian cancer, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request today. Our son-in-law, Blair Henley, his sister, has cancer spread throughout her body. She's in her early 30s, and the doctors have not given her but just a matter of just a few months to live, but they've started inquiring things about the Lord and different things. So just pray that God would be merciful to that situation. Tony Wheaton sends this in to please pray for his mother. She got a bad report about her kidneys. Only 1/3 of her kidneys are working. Please pray that God will heal her. Thanks, and may God bless all of you. So we remember that today. We want to pray for Jonathan King. He's homesick with a fever and a sore throat. Brother Joel King sends that in. Remember Sister Rachel Estep's 2 sons and her daughter, who have all been in the hospital this past week. Also pray for their salvation, that God would be merciful unto them. Sister Sims sends us in for her nephew, Freddie Brewer. He had to have his leg amputated. Pray that all goes well and they'll have a fast, speedy recovery. So let's remember that need today. We want to pray for Brother Roby Turner for healing for his body. Had heart surgery a couple of weeks ago, experiencing some problems, so let's pray for that need today. I want to praise the Lord for the way that he has brought Brother Todd Robbins during his surgery, brought him through getting stronger and meaner every day. We love Brother Todd. We sure miss those folks and look forward to the day they can be back with us. Prayer request from Kirk Sacker. Please pray for Harmony Sacker, who has had a stomach virus this week, so let's pray that the Lord would be merciful into that situation. Sister Jessica Benton, we'd like to thank everyone who prayed, called, sent cards, prepared food, and helped care for her children while she was in the hospital and recovering at home. Such an outpouring of love and support means more than she can ever express, so she wants to say thank you for that. I've got some announcements. We'll get to them just in a few minutes. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, may God richly bless our streaming friends and brothers and sisters from around the world. And Glenn and I want to say thank you for praying for us. God is certainly bringing us along, and we just want to thank God. Thank you for praying. And footsteps one at a time. We'll make it one at a time, won't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. I believe we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we were an hour ago. I know we are closer than we were yesterday, but I believe he's coming back just like he said. He said he'd do it, and he will do it. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say hallelujah. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. Worship the Lord this morning, church.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord declared that he said, don't you stand here grieving for this one that you see leaving. In like manner's coming back just like he said.
Jesus.
That will soon see his appearing.
Oh,
this could be the hour.
Yes, it could.
I wish this would be the day.
Your day.
When the bride from every nation starts to lose gravitation. We'll soon see his appearing. Oh, this could be the hour the bride cries, Lord, let this be the day. When the bride from every nation, she starts to lose earthly gravitation. In the
Our day.
In the twinkling of the twinkling of an eye, He's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe He's coming back like He said, just like He said.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen. I believe He's in the house today, don't you? Let's sing a little bit of that song, if you will. He's in the house. Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to sing.
He's in the house. Death had to leave. Now there is light. Where darkness to be.
This heart of mine gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Oh, yes.
Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Amen. Brother Daniel, if you would get ready to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests, let me make just two or three announcements while they're doing that. If you're going to the Louisiana Youth Camp and you haven't sent your money in, they need that as soon as possible. So young people, remember that. If you're planning on going, they need your money just as soon as you can get that in. Also next Sunday, that's a week from today. Now, this is your opportunity. A lot of us have children and grandchildren that attend Happy Valley Middle School, Elementary School, and High School. And so this is your opportunity to step up and be a civic-minded, community-minded person. And I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with that. But they're going to be having a meal over at Happy Valley High School next Sunday from 12 to 3. It's a ham dinner, a real, real good dinner for $6. You can go and your family. There's plenty of room. And they'd love for y'all to come. You know, Brother Donnie talked about last night, people that don't really know and understand what we believe, but they sure covet your prayers. And there's a lot of folks at Happy Valley know about us. And we know a lot about them. Some of them love the Lord with all their heart. Just like anywhere else, they love the Lord with all their heart. And I'm glad God sees that. But anyway, from next Sunday from 12 to 3, they're going to be having a ham dinner at the school cafeteria. They'd love for you to come for $6, and you could do that. Also, Brother Sam and Sister Laura Wyco, they want me to make this announcement. As you know, Zach and Susanna's wedding will be coming up on Friday, April the 12th. There's been a sign-up sheet for the reception over in the library for those wishing to stay after the wedding. If you do plan to stay for the reception and haven't signed up yet, the deadline to do so is next Sunday, March the 10th. You all are welcome, but your name must be on the list for us to know how to prepare. Thanks for your understanding and consideration in this matter. God bless you. So if you're planning on going to the reception, being a part of the reception after the wedding, please sign that sheet up over in the library. They have it for you available over there. Young people, get your money into the Louisiana Youth Camp as soon as possible. And remember the dinner next Sunday at Happy Valley High School. Appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? God bless you, buddy.
Amen. It's good to have Brother Lee back again.
Amen.
There was a man that fell and broke his hip one time. He was a Christian man. He was laying on the bed, and he said, "Doctor, how long do I have to lay here?" And the doctor replied, "Just a day at a time." And you know, that's the secret of living a Christian life, is to live a moment at a time and lay before Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together for these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, we just so appreciate you for letting us be in this service again today. God, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. We thank you, God, because we know that we are victorious. And Heavenly Father, that we are of a holy priesthood of kings. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for every one of the promises that was brought out, Heavenly Father. And God, now we come again before this church today with these requests and these needs. And God, we bring them before you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll move for each one of them today. God, that you'll heal those that are sick. God, that you'll deliver those that need deliverance. That you'll save our loved ones. God, we know that this is the closing hour. And help us, oh God, that we'll be faithful in all things. God, we pray for those over the internet in our fellowship halls. Be with them, Heavenly Father. Be with our pastor today, God, as he brings forth the word. God, bless our song leader. Bless everyone that takes part in this church. God, we pray that you go with us now. Help us, oh God, that we'll stay in the center of your will. Help us, God, that we'll let nothing separate us from your love. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You be seated for just a few minutes this morning. Let's sing one more little song just before we change the order of the service this morning. Let me just take this opportunity to say to Brother Harvey Lunsford that I certainly appreciate him stepping up to the task at hand. Brother Jimmy for helping him, and Brother Harvey just about had a revival breakout last night when he seen me walk up on the steps. I thought he was going to shout before he ever got in church. But anyways, we all are just what we are. We do the best we can, and that's all God asks, to do our best. And I just appreciate the helps that we have here in this assembly. Musicians are out. We have people that step right up. Song leaders are out. We have people that step right up. When Brother Donnie's not here, we have wonderful ministers that step right up. And you congregation, you just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And well, just look at yourself. Look at your little hands this morning. Everybody look at your little hands. Now give yourself a hand this morning. We're a blessed congregation. I mean that with all of my heart. to be under this ministry, to be under the word of the hour that we are. I certainly am one grateful person, and I believe you are too. Let's sing a little song this morning. I'm rich. Are you rich?
Yes.
Let's sing about it this morning. Brother Richard, can you find that for me? I believe it's already got on the screen, Brother Harry. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
My father owns the cattle on the thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son.
Well, I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
Got a guardian angel watching over me. He's with me everywhere. Breathe just a simple prayer.
I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
He cleansed me and forgiven me of all my sins. He took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share.
I'll be moving to my mansion just for in glory, for I'm a rightful
heir. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together today as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord.
The more that I surrender, Brother Richard. I'm not sure if I know exactly how this song goes, but it's been on my heart the last couple of days. You know, with what Brother Donnie's been preaching, I want to become that. But I know I can't do it in Harry Reagan, because Harry Reagan, the son of Don and Betty Reagan, he can't do it. But I know Christ in me can do it if I can just yield.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more He takes control. The more that I humble myself, the more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more You take control. The more that I humble myself, the more You lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more.
Sing it again. Listen to the word.
words now.
The more that I surrender,
the more that I surrender,
the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day
believes that with all your heart. I believe we surely, as we come closer and closer to what God wants us to be, we're realizing the more we can get ourselves out of the way, we can submit ourselves unto Him, the more He can do through us. Let's turn again today, if you would. We'd like to read the book of Proverbs again today in Matthew chapter 12, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And the word idle is slow, barren, free from labor, at leisure, lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. I mean, there's a labor to say the right thing? There is. That's right. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's pray together, if you would. Father, we love you today. We so thank you that we can come together again in this place, Lord. It is a great opportunity for us, and we love you so much. Dear Jesus, we ask today that you would help us, that we can open our hearts, our minds, to be able to receive from you. And Father, we pray that the word would go deep down in us, Lord, and help us to get rid of negative thoughts and negative attitudes and anything that would hinder us from being what you want us to be. Granted, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sure love you today, saints. Appreciate you. I'd like to speak to you today again on behavior follows our thoughts. May the Lord help us, and you may be seated. But that's my title. But actually, the content of the subject, I would like to speak to you on your hypothalamus, your thalamus, your amygdala, and your endocrine, and your hippocampus. I love that look. I mean, it's just a look of, it's like the deer in the headlight, except with a smile. No, this is not contagious, and it's not a disease. It's something that every one of us have. And it's something that makes up the complexity of what's actually each one of us are. And whenever we look at the great creation of what God has made, I just marvel at it. The more I study the natural side of us and our makeup and the chemistry inside of us and all the natural things that God has made, how it correlates together. What I find amazing is back in the 1600s that there was a doctor that was very much made fun of, ridiculed, criticized by most of the people of his day. And it was that this man had the theory that the brain or the mind had a great correlation working together with the body, and that the thoughts and the things that were in the mind were actually connected to the body. Well, he was pretty much the laughing stock of the people of that time in the medical profession and many other people as well. But what's amazing is, now that old guy, of course, he can't laugh now, but if he could, he'd be the one doing the laughing now. Because now they're realizing, not only so in the medical field, but in also other kinds of fields, as well as the religious field, that there is a great connection, actually, between the mind and the body. And I think even some of us message folks are beginning to realize it. My, that's really something, isn't it? But now, you know, to think that God this is no mystery to God, that God, when he made the body, and when he made the spirit, and when he made the soul, God interconnected it all together so that it would be able to work together as one great unit. And you can see why that Satan would want this truth to be kept away from most human beings. Now, it will affect people on different levels. Many people, as I've been dealing with this in the last several weeks, how many ever weeks it's been, different people have been giving me different books and sending me different emails and different things. There's one laying on my desk this morning about rewiring the brain. So, you know, it's not something that's exclusive to us. It's something that many, many people are learning about. Now, I hope you understand what I'm going to say. I'm glad folks are learning how to live a better life. Hey, they may not be bright. I still like for it to be as easy as possible for them. Maybe I'll look at things different, but I believe if I could help people in this life have a better life, whether they're bright or not, I want to do it. I would rather have that accredited to my account that I tried to make life easier for folks than make it hard on them. I honestly do believe that some people get joy out of trying to make life hell on earth for others. That's never been my goal in life. I don't want to do that. So I'm grateful that people can find that. And I think once we come to that, we're going to come back to the basis of what this message was delivered on. Why that Brother Branham would say himself that he prayed for doctors that God would help them to find the cure for humanity. He didn't pray that they would find the cure for the message people, but for humanity. So you see, that's the spirit that this message was actually brought in. That's the spirit the gospel was brought in, because Jesus didn't just heal the disciples and those that followed him, but he healed all kinds of people. Probably some of them wind up crucifying him, but yet he loved humanity. Now, I want you to think today that by God's grace, what he has allowed us to see as far as spiritual truths, and to be able to see things maybe that there's an element of people on the earth that do not see, but it does by no means give us an exclusive to where that we as the people of God, to where we as what we call ourselves, the elect or the bride, whatever term you want to give yourself, that we are some type of special class, that we are no longer humans, that we're no longer affected even by the natural things of life. We have too many prayer requests turned in for those who's got the flu and tummy aches and headaches and this, that, and the other. Let me know we're human beings like everybody else out here. In that, then we also have many of the similar problems, similar issues that they have. We have similar makeups. Many of us are born unidentical, the same star, the same sign. That's why when you read the sun sign book or the moon sign book or many of those different books, you'll find things relative to yourself as many other human beings that have nothing to do with the message of the hour, because we are human. So it is the same way in the way we are made up naturally. Our bodies are made up exactly the same as people who are not converted, people who don't have the Holy Ghost. Our minds work the same way. Our chemistry works the same way. But yet we have an element by the life of Christ what gives us a supernatural advantage. But it does not take away from us that we are natural. People sitting here today probably taking medicine for your thyroid, medicine for chemicals and balancing your body, medicine for other types of things. Does that mean that you're not a child of God? By no means. It just means that your body is not making this proper chemical or this hormone or whatever, and you are supplementing it by something that man has made. Thank God for it. Does it mean that we as human beings, as a bride, that we don't have elements that attack our spirit? It does not mean that. Can we as a people of God get down, get depressed? Can we take medicine for that that would help us? We sure can. But at the same time, by God's grace, we have an enlightenment by the word that'll help us to deal with things on a measure that other people does not have. Now, that doesn't make us better by any means. It just means that God has given us an element of grace and instruction that we can further take by that and make us what he wants us to be in a greater way. You believe that? Now, with that, of course, that should enlighten us to an ability that, as Brother Branham taught us here, that it would help us. Let me read this to you. He said, you can believe, we read it last night, and you say, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer. Then you believe you're a Christian. You can show nothing that you are. But you believe you are. You believe you are. And then when you confess you are, when you confess him and he confesses you, he's a high priest working on what? Not on your crying, not on your repenting, not on your faith, but on your confession.
confession. So you start out in your walk with God. You have nothing to show for it. You have nothing to prove that you are. But you go to acting, confessing, believing. Then you become, by your thoughts, your behavior will actually line up with what you are thinking that you are. Because initially, you don't know how to think as a Christian. You don't know how to behave as a Christian. You don't know how to act as a Christian. So what you will do is you will get in your mind someone that you think is a Christian. And then you will begin to act like them. Then you will begin to talk in the way they talk because you have confidence in them and they have had an impact on your life, whether it's a mama, daddy, a preacher, grandma, whoever it is. And you say, boy, right there's a Christian. Subconsciously, you have been affected by the way they do. So you will begin inadvertently to act in the way they do. If they read their Bible a certain way, if they'll begin to rejoice in a certain way, many of us are affected by that. So you begin to act like a Christian. You begin to talk like a Christian. You begin to behave like a Christian. So then your behavior is following what? Your thoughts. Because now you're thinking like a child of God. You're thinking like somebody that goes to church instead of somebody that goes to a bar room. Years ago, you went to a bar room, you acted the way they did. You went to the horse races, you acted the way they did. You went to the activities of the world. But then as you become a child of God, then your behavior changes because the birth of these new thoughts that are going on the inside of you. Then you are actually being transformed because your mind is being renewed. So you're acting like a child of God. Now, if it can happen to us that way initially on the birth of Christianity, will not it continue to do so as we go on and on and on in the Word and as we go on in Christ? Will not we constantly be changing and our mind being renewed, and then we'll begin to transcend everything that we've been taught that is not right, and our mind will begin to think like from another world? Now, once he said you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian, you act like a Christian, you associate with those that are Christians, and it works righteousness. So what is it then? Your behavior is being conformed or changed because your thoughts are changing. Now, let's skip down to the next one. Now, perhaps 80% or 90% of the audience tonight would be Christian. Well, then if you got in your mind that you wasn't a Christian any longer and quit confessing that you was a Christian, you got dropped right down out of the picture. Now remember, it starts in your mind. It don't start with smoking a cigarette. It don't start with drinking a beer. It starts with in your mind, you're thinking, I'm no longer a Christian. I'm no longer a message believer. I'm not sure if I believe the message anymore. That's where it starts, in your mind. Then you will start falling from your mind first. And what will happen? Automatically, as long as you give those thoughts room, and those thoughts then become attached by emotions, which goes on inside of your body, chemistry being released inside of your body attached to those thoughts. I mean, thoughts that go through our mind, they are not permanent thoughts. They're only temporary. They come through and they pass depending on you, whether you will allow them a residence, a place in order to stay. Then when you do, you think about those thoughts, you meditate on those thoughts, then your body begins to attach certain emotions and certain things and chemicals inside your body, and will give it a permanent residency inside of your brain. Then your cells will begin to attach themselves with that thought. The more you think about it, the bigger those thoughts become. My. Now notice, so you begin to think, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer no more, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Then your behavior, once again, will change and conform from what you've done for years and years, and you'll begin to act in another way because your thoughts are now setting you in another way. I no longer believe that it's wrong for a woman to do this, I no longer believe it's wrong for a man to do that. So then your behavior will once again change and follow the pattern of your thoughts. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. Now, notice this again. Perhaps, he says, 80% or 90% of the people would sit there, and that's the way they would go. Now, then, let's read the last quote before we go into the medical part about you. You just imagine that somebody hates you once, and they don't hate you, but you imagine that they do. and you just keep thinking they don't like me. Now that might come into your mind as a temporary thought. It comes soon, passes on, and you do not attach any emotional value to that. Now whether you think positive or negative thoughts, they will, if you let them linger, they will be attached by a chemical response in your body, and then your body, according to the emotion that went with it. Now remember, there's only two general bases of emotions, that is love and fear. Every other emotion is an outcrop of those two main emotions. Then out of there, you will attach an emotional feeling, an emotional something that goes with that, which is actually a chemical process that happens in your body. Now there is an intellectual, what they call an intellectual thought of it, and then there is an attachment of something that it becomes a real substance. We can really believe something on just the basis of temporary thoughts in our mind, and it never touches value in the real you. But the real you, when it attaches some sort of value and a chemical response to a thought, it becomes so embedded in you, it can take years to get rid of. But if it is a temporary thought, which just passes through, it has no harm to you, it takes nothing away from you, nor does it add anything to you, it's just a thought that passes through. But according to what you and I do with this very service today, whether we will allow our being to attach value to what we are hearing will depend on whether or not how valuable you think it is. If you think these things you are hearing are not important at all, it will be a temporary thought. You'll say, you're listening to me today. It'll go through your mind. You'll think, wow, that's pretty good. That was interesting. I really like it. It'll be a temporary thing in your mind. It'll go through. You'll walk outside them doors and you'll resume your normal type of behavior and activity. Or if you say, oh man, by God's help and grace, I want to apply that to my life. And you say, yes, Lord, I want to. Then your body just secreted chemicals that attach to that thought. It will become embedded into your mind structure, and your limbic system inside your body will attach a permanent residency. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Then try to talk me out of it. Now watch this. So a person can just imagine that somebody don't like them. Then you begin to think that they don't like me, and the first thing you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. Nothing. But inside your body, that thought was attached to chemicals. And those chemicals sent that reaction into your limbic system. Your hypothalamus, the thalamus contacted the hypothalamus, and it started secreting hormones to attach to this, to make it more real to you than just a thought. Don't you say that's what Revelation does to the word to a real believer? Some folks just read the Bible, they listen to the message, they listen and they listen and they listen to tapes and they listen, but nothing ever really attaches to it from a supernatural realm. But whenever it's revelation, it attaches, and it ain't the pituitary gland, it ain't the adrenaline glands, it's something beyond that, it's the supernatural from the soul. Amen. That's why you'll never get it out of a real believer. Now watch what happens then. They don't like me, and the first thing, you'll be shunning that person. So your behavior toward that person is changing because of the thought that you had that had no true foundation. But remember from last night's service, your subconscious does not question what you tell it. So you can feed it lies, you can tell it rhetoric, you can tell it half-substantiated truths, and your subconscious believes it. And then your subconscious goes to building on top of what you are feeling. He don't like me. She don't like me. He's throwing that rock. He does not like me. And you're building this whole thing on a lie. And the church said, ouch. We've all done it. You might as well say amen. Now watch then what happens. This behavior becomes so deeply seated in this individual. Now notice the next move now. The first thing, you'll start shunning that person. They haven't done nothing to you. After a while, it becomes so a reality till you'll actually believe that person doesn't like you. Notice, and you might bawl them out. Now what? The behavior is changing to more aggressiveness because the thought is being fed. The chemicals are responding. More cells are responding. More neurotransmitters being released in the brain. And it's growing, 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 growing. Doctors explain thoughts like trees in the forest of our brain. Actually, it's really interesting to see the magnetic resonance imaging of these things. How that they're like trees without leaves. They don't look anything like this, but they look like trees, these neurons and nerve responders. And they're like images, barren trees that stand up in our mind. And when they find one that is a bad memory, or one that is a real deep-seated thing, it'll have so many branches, branches everywhere, all over that entire tree, because it is so seated in us so deeply, and so many chemicals have been released over the years to enforce that. It's not going another branch, another branch. That's why when you, they say when you have a memory that's in you that's so horrific, something that was so painful, something that really, really troubled you, that it may have happened 40 years ago, but you go to thinking about that and you will relive that. Your palms will become sweaty. You'll have actually bodily reactions because it is real. Just as real in your memory as if it happened this morning. Every one of us in this building today are what we are. Right up here. Now watch what happens to this thought as it permeates inside this individual. You might bawl them out or say something to you, for instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that, when the person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. But they're not innocent in your mind. They are totally guilty in your mind, and you're going to bawl them out based upon what? A thought that started out in the form of neutrality, because thoughts can be positive, negative, or neutral. So it comes out with a thought in your mind, and then you linger on it, you think on it, you think on it, you think on it, you think on it, and the more you think, the more neurotransmitters are released in your brain, and you are building the foundation to rebuke this brother. Not initially, but every branch gives you further evidence. He don't like me, she don't like me, and you're building, building on a lie. And in your mind, you are totally deceived. Whew. Now, let's look at the chemical factory inside of our head. It's the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is an area of the brain that produces hormones that control body temperature, hunger, moods, release of hormones from many glands, especially the pituitary gland, sleep, and thirst. The hypothalamus is like a chemical factory where the thought building process has happened and where the type and amount of chemicals released into the body are determined. The thalamus signals the hypothalamus to chemically, notice what happens, to chemically prepare a response to your thoughts. So your thoughts are not just passing things that come through that have no value. It depending on what you do with those thoughts. If you allow them to linger, then this process takes place. Now watch, the thalamus signals the hypothalamus to chemically prepare a response to your thoughts. The endocrine system is a collection of glands and organs that mostly produce and regulate your hormones. The hypothalamus is often referred to as the brain of the endocrine system, controlling things like thirst, hunger, body temperature, and the body's response to your emotional life. Why you cry, why you shout, why you laugh, why you do all these things. So this is what goes on inside of us when a thought will come true. Listen to this. Greatly impacting and dysfunctioning emotionally and intellectually. This means that if you are anxious or worried about something, the hypothalamus responds to this anxious and worrying attitude with a flurry of stress chemicals, engaging the pituitary gland, the master gland of the endocrine system. The endocrine system secretes the hormones responsible for organizing the trillions of cells in your body to deal with any impending threats. Negative thoughts shift your body's focus to protection and reduce your ability to process and think with wisdom. That's why upset people do dumb things. Come on, children, don't sit there and look at me. That's why Satan wants to get you back against the wall and get you so emotionally strung out. He knows we all do dumb things when we're like this. Why? Because we cannot think properly. Our endocrine system has flooded us with stress emotions, stress hormones. You're like a zebra running for his life, except you ain't got no stripes. You're just all stressed out. You ever notice how many times important decisions come your way when you're all stressed out? Good time to flood you with them. You get a phone call and you got to make a decision about this. And you get a text, you got to make a decision about that. And then you look back and say, what in the world was I thinking when I made that decision? You was a zebra with no stripes running across the Kalahari and trying to get out of the stress and the trouble of this world. And your body, once it is flooded with all of these things from negative thoughts, your body cannot function properly. Watch what happens. Negative thoughts shift your body's focus to protection. So you shut down like a zebra, like a baboon, an impala, a gym's buck. It shuts down its fertility. It shuts down many of its other major systems to survive. Do you understand? This is where the majority of the human race is at today. Such stress with their jobs, with their economy, with their families, with addictions, with dependencies on this and that. And they are shut down from reality. I'm convinced from what I hear, a lot of folks writing on Facebook are totally shut down. Some of the ignorant stuff that you hear that people put on there, you say, I'm not sure their brain may have took a vacation somewhere. They're not even thinking. People ain't even thinking. Don't they realize everybody and their brother is going to read all this stuff? Now you want to tell how you and your husband got into a big fuss and you and your kids and what in the world's the matter with folks? Now notice, on the other hand, if you change your attitude and determine, I love this. This is from a medical doctor who has studied the brain for 25 years. But if you change your attitude and determine to apply God's excellent advice not to worry, the hypothalamus will cause the secretion of chemicals that facilitate the feeling of peace. You mean to tell me from the same gadget up here in my head can come either or? From this hypothalamus can come the secretions of worry and trouble and stress, or from the same source can come a release of peace. Pardon me. I'm going to make a public apology here this morning, devil, because I realize a lot of the stuff I've blamed on you over the years, it's not really been your fault. It's been mine. And I'd like to apologize to you for the rest of these people, sheep. I was going to say something else, but they're not. I'd like to apologize for the rest of these folks here because they blamed you for a lot of stuff you didn't do either. And I certainly like to apologize to you, sir, because there's many things we've laid at your door that you were not responsible for. Many of our bad days has not been really the devil's fault, and it wasn't God's fault. It's because we chose to have a bad day. How in the world could Solomon wrote this so many, many years ago? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus quoted that, and then Proverbs says that a man thinks in his soul and all that. How in the world could Solomon ever wrote that without knowing about the hypothalamus? Notice this, the hypothalamus will cause the secretion of chemicals that facilitate the feeling of peace, and the rest of the brain will respond by secreting the correct formula of neurotransmitters, chemicals that transmit electrical impulses for thought building and clear thinking. And it's not the devil down in the regions of the lost that's pushing all of these buttons. It's you deciding. I love this. Although you may not be able to control your environment all the time, you can control how it affects your brain. God help me. God help me. I ain't going to change the world. I'm going to change Donnie. I ain't going to change everybody here in this church. If I can change me and all of those that want to be changed, praise God. I know I'll never change this world. I'll never change the environment. But I want to learn how to deal with it in a more overcoming attitude. Now watch how this works. How this incoming information is still in a temporary state. It has not yet lodged itself in your memory or become a part of your spirit. Your spirit. Any of you ever get sick because your spirit got down? Or your spirit ever get down when you are sick and it'll prolong your sickness? You know why? It's moved over from your body into your spirit, from your spirit over into your body. And your thoughts and your thinking about it. And you get them connected, brother. It takes a miracle to get you out. Now what? So thoughts of this nature can come through, but they are not permanent residents yet in your brain or in your spirit until you react. Now notice, you can choose to reject the presently activated thoughts and the incoming information. Or you can let the information make its way into your mind and your spirit, eventually subsiding in your subconscious, which dominates who you are. Even though you can't always control your circumstances, you can make fundamental choices that will help you control your reaction to your circumstances and keep toxic input out of your brain. Now watch this, how our loving Father made us. To help us make good choices, we have the amygdala. And the hippocampus, the amygdala deals with the passionate perceptual emotions attached to incoming thoughts. Now look, Satan has all kinds of things he can put there, but God puts the chemistry inside of you and lets you decide which one you want to do. Don't you see in the Garden of Eden that Eve absolutely could not have been forced to do what she done. It come into her as a passing thought. This very thing I'm reading to you this morning happened to her in the Garden of Eden. And those thoughts, she began to attach emotions and feelings and sensual attachments through these thoughts, and she began to feel a response in her body that she'd never felt before. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch, to help us make good choices, we have the amygdala and the hippocampus. The amygdala deals with the passionate perceptual emotions attached to incoming thoughts and the thoughts already in your head. The hippocampus deals with memory. Me and old hippo need to have a talk. Deals with memory and motivation. I just realized why some of you folks ain't motivated. Your hippo needs a shot. This is where you consciously step up to center stage, needing to make a decision whether or not these incoming thoughts will become a part of who you are. Friends, are we seeing daylight? Do you understand? The thoughts that you entertain, they can become a part of who you are. Or they can become passerbys that's traveling through your mind and you're not giving them residence. It's entirely up to you. Lord Jesus, help us. Notice it. Now this is where you consciously step up the center stage, needing to make a decision whether or not these incoming thoughts will become part of who you are. Let's look more closely at how you control this decision. Neuroscientifically, it goes like this. The amygdala provides input to the mind on the emotions. The thalamus and the hypothalamus provide input on motivation. The memory networks provide information on the existing memories. The central hub in the brain mixes. Ow. You imagine all this happens, scoops like that. Integrates this all together. The heart add its five cents to the equation. And you make the decision. Like that, all that happens. All these chemicals are going on inside your body. One contacting the other. This one sending messages here. This one there, neurotransmitter. And they're waiting for you. And you're in the command. And then you tell them, I want this thought to become a part of who I am. And let's say this thought was, nobody at the church likes me. Then the thalamus regulates, so the hypothalamus, releases secretions, and they all come to the medulla and all these other things going on. This goes into your mind, and then it attaches emotional value, because when you thought it, you felt real hurt. And every time you think about it again, and again, and again, other branches grow out in the forest of your mind. And when you rethink about it, nobody loves me. I'm not a part of the church. They don't care for me. That church is too big. I don't like a big church. You're growing more branches. I personally don't like a big church either, but what can I do about it? Am I supposed to run everybody off so it's just me and you? If God made us a part of a big church, I'd advise you to settle down, just knuckle down, put your arm around, let's fight till we get out of here. We say, Brother Donnie, crowds make me nervous. What are you going to do? Get a special heaven? You realize you're going to a city where there's millions of people? You're going to an earth where there's billions of people? You better get used to crowds. Part of that is in your subconscious. It's the devil using it against you. Or that thought can come into your mind. The thalamus, the hypothalamus, and you know all this is waiting on you. And you say, you are a liar. I refuse to accept this thought. This thought is not who I am. No hormones, no chemicals is attached to this to make it a tree now. A forest. A tree in the forest of your brain. It is forced to pass through. May it come around. Might come around next Saturday night. But just do the same thing. Burn his hide with good chemicals. Then what happens? And they wait on you. And then you release feel-good chemicals that says, I am a part of this church. I believe God sent me here to be a part of this church. I may not get to shake the pastor's hand as often as I want to. They may not call my name. They may not recognize me. But this is where God sent me. And I'm going to stay until God makes me leave. Then feel good chemicals from your body will attach to that thought. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can be presented with all the reason, logic, scientific evidence, and just plain common sense of the world. But you won't believe something is true. Unless your brain's limbic system, the central location of your emotions, allows you to feel that it is true. Now can't you see why thoughts are powerless without emotional attachments? Chemical responses, neurotransmitters that will send to this thought an attachment. Either a feeling of being part of, or a part of a feeling of being rejected, or a part of being hurt, or let down. Once it attaches with a feeling, it is real to you then. Friends, you know as well as I do, you can prove things to people all day long. If they don't want to believe it, they ain't going to believe it. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but there are people in this age that we live in that still do not believe the Holocaust took place. There are people, all you gotta do is type in on the web and you can do a search on gas chambers in the Holocaust. And you will find all kinds of people who do not believe there were any gas chambers in the Holocaust. Even though SS soldiers testified. They helped kill them. Documents, pictures. And people said, I still don't believe it. That's the way some of the folks are redeeming with right now. I don't care what you prove them, how much vindication you show them from a prophet of God, they ain't going to believe it. Just let them go on. If people are that hard-headed and don't want to believe it, you're wasting your time, friends. Now, can you imagine there's websites? I mean, it's surprising how many that there are of people that don't even believe there was a Holocaust, and some that do believe there were, don't believe there was one person ever killed in a gas chamber. With hundreds and hundreds of witnesses of soldiers who took pictures of it, and they still say, that's not scientific proof. So am I going to spend all my time trying to prove to them people that there was? Sure ain't. I'm just going to keep on going. Now, people are that way about the Holocaust. They'll be that way about the message. They'll be that way about everything else. And they'll just stand right there and say, I don't believe it. I don't care what you do, Church of Christ. So why are we going to spend all of our time? I want to focus on getting Donnie lined out. Now watch what happened. Why is this this way? So they can read these facts. They can see these pictures just like I saw them when I pulled them up on the internet. And they can read all these things of witnesses just like I read them. But if it is not attached inside of their body from their limbic system, they read it, they hear it, and they say, I still don't believe. Because when that thought crosses their mind, the connections inside their body will not allow through stubbornness to make an emotional attachment that this is the truth. And here you got these poor Jews testifying. They saw their mama. They saw their brothers. They saw different ones sent to them gas chambers. And they'll sit there and read their testimony, hear their testimony, the SS guards and the whole deal. And they still won't believe it. Isn't there something how that you can look straight at something? It can be proved to you. And you will say, I don't believe it. No attachment. Now watch, this is amazing. You can't imagine and feel change your brain structurally one way and speak something different without a lack of integrity. Now this is what they call it inside the brain itself, integrity, operating in your brain. When we think and use our free will to make a decision, we influence which genes are initiated or expressed in our nerve cells. Now hang on, everybody. Might be a slight bit of turbulence from this point on. This is called epigenetics. Emphasizes that our perceptions of life shape our biology and not the other way around. And quite brilliantly shows the power of our thought life. It has been thought, believed, and taught for years that our genes make us who we are. But you know what they're finding out? They're finding out that's not the fact. That actually through the power of our thoughts, we can change our genes. Uh-oh. Slight turbulence there, a few thunderheads around. But let's keep on flying now. Don't bail out on me now. Quite dangerous at 37,000 feet. What's this now? How this can happen? You imagine, friend, whenever you look at your family history, well, my grandpa died of a heart attack, my father died of my uncle so-and-so, Uncle Silas and Uncle Fred, Uncle so-and-so. If you're not careful, you will begin to select which genes in your body you will choose to be your fate. Epigenetics. It runs in my natural family to drink. It runs in my natural family to commit adultery. It runs in my natural family on and on and on and on. But it runs in my other family to live what's true. To live what's faithful. So you know what? I stand here today and I have a choice. I think I'll choose the tree of life instead of the Reagan tree. Now you agree with me on that, but you still won't agree with me on the physical part. My grandpa died with a heart attack when I was about 4 or 5 months old. Never got to see him. My daddy died with a heart attack sitting in a recliner when he got up to take a breathing treatment. His hair was darker than mine when he died. So it runs, they may say, in the Reagan strain to have heart problems. And if I make the choice, I make the choice to accept that as my end, no doubt I will follow the same pattern. Now, you saying you're going to live forever, Brother Donnie, I ain't saying no such thing. But there ain't nothing saying I've got a sign for heart trouble neither. There ain't said nothing saying I've got a sign for Alzheimer's. I've got a sign for this and that and the other. If I'm going to sign, why not sign for this? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but some of you sitting right here today have already assigned this into your life. This is your destiny. That's why when you read statistics about heart trouble, something flutters inside of you. You have an emotional attachment. It shot out another branch when you read that article. You have already formed what you're going to be and how you're going to die. In your subconscious, you've accepted the fact, I've got heart trouble. Don't you understand? Your heart will begin to respond to those thoughts. Well, glory to God. It'll be a miracle if I still have a job once I get through with this series, won't it? Hope y'all ain't having secret meetings on trying to vote me out. Now watch this. As a man thinks in his heart, notice this doctor quoting Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Here's a brief summary of how this works. Every cell in your body has been neatly packaged with all the genes for you. But not all those genes are initiated or expressed at the same time. So a cell initiates a liver gene when in your liver, but when not in your skin. When a gene is expressed to make a new protein, that alters the structure and function of that particular cell. Did my daddy pass down heart trouble to me? He may have. His daddy may have passed it down to him. But through the power of my thoughts, I could begin to mobilize other cell structures. Is it in me there? Sure, it may be. It may be laying in there. But it will be my choice as to whether I will call on those cells and call them to expression. It may run in your family. All of my family's depressed. It may run in your family. But it may be your choice whether it's you or not. Watch how this works. When a gene is expressed, it makes a new protein that alters the structure and function of that particular cell. The information about how to make these proteins is transcribed or read from the individual gene. The myth that we have learned that it is our gene that shapes us. But research shows that our thinking also affects which genes are initiated. Therefore, we can reshape our genes. Whew. Brother Donnie, you preaching, some of us ain't gonna never die. Exactly what I'm preaching. Wouldn't it be amazing if some of us were alive and well in the day of the change? Why? Because we already tapped into the changing power. Instead of waiting for the day of the change, we begin to let the Spirit of God gradually change us thought by thought. Amen. Step by step. Measure by measure. Lord Jesus. Now watch what happens. Then this then influences the formation of long-term memory, where neurons will actually change their shape and increase the number of connections they have to other nerve cells. This means We do not have to be the victims of our biology. Glory to God. I don't have to be the victim of all my family biology. Neither do I have to be the victim of all the message biology. Of a lot of message people. Well, message preachers always mess up when they get in their 50s. I refuse that gene. They always mess up when they get older. I refuse that gene. I want my mind of Christ to selectively choose the gene that I will be faithful till breath leaves my body. This means we do not have to be the victims of our biology. And as we detox, we are shaping. Notice this. We are reshaping the brain's microscopic anatomy. As you move through the detoxing process, you produce changes in gene expression. Don't you understand what the new birth is? It is a change in gene expression. That gene lays in you. The spiritual gene of God lays in you for years and years and years. And by thoughts, you hearing the gospel. And that begins to take a hold. And all of a sudden, that gene becomes born. Oh, hallelujah. And that gene becomes born. And then you start living from the life of that gene. If it can happen in the spiritual, why can't it happen in the natural? Some of you folks want to die of cancer. Some of y'all want Alzheimer's? You want triple bypass? Quadruple bypass? Is that what you want? You want to die with diabetes and your limbs be took off? Well, you've got a lot to say in it. You can sign for it and say, well, it's just the way it is. I'm a Reagan. They all go that way. Guess it's just, I'll just go over to the graveyard tomorrow and buy me a plot. Pick out the words to say about victims of heart attacks and pick out the preachers I want to preach at my funeral, sing heart attack songs and heart attack flowers. Or you can sit down in your study and neatly build you a square box. You can take all those inherited genes in your biology, lay them down in that box, nail the lid on good tight, put a nice pink ribbon, yellow bow, whatever you want on top of it, FedEx it down to hell. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. But Brother Donnie, what if I've already got signs of heart trouble? What if I've already got signs of Alzheimer's? What if I've already got it? What is a miracle? A miracle releases the power of God inside of your body to change genes, to reverse genes. Don't you see what a miracle does? I'm giving you the slow process of what a miracle does in a moment of time. Hallelujah. What does a miracle do? It changes cells. It changes antibodies. So you go to the FedEx office in the morning on Roan and tell that little guy in our smiling with the black hair, I've got a package. What's the zip code, sir? They don't have zip codes down there. Oh, is it a foreign country? Well, it's not actually a country. It's a dimension. You see, I accepted this package years ago because that's all I was taught. But I've been sitting under the ministry of a simpleton. I've been sitting under the ministry of a hillbilly that's energized by divine life. And he's been telling me I don't have to accept this no more, and I want to return it to the devil. Lock, stock, and barrel. Hallelujah. I'm signing for life and peace and hope. Amen.
that's what would happen. When people would walk up on the platform and Brother Bram would tell them, you got a cancer, you got this, you got that. And they'd be healed right there. What was it? A miracle took place in their genes. A miracle took place in the neurotransmitters. A miracle took place in the pituitary gland. Well, if God could do it then fast, can He do it now? The actual, listen to this. Remember, our behavior follows our thoughts, not the other way around. Analyzing and addressing our thoughts are key components of conquering the habits and behaviors that seem to hold us hostage. Some of us may have common symptoms of toxic thinking, such as, you never thought that, did you? Pride, anger, rebellion, self-pity, complaining, ungratefulness. Now, each one of these I read, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Y'all was about to blow the seams a while ago and bust a gasket. That's what it is. Y'all bust one, didn't you? Now the air's gone. Look at these toxic things. Look at yourself today, friends. Examine yourselves, not behind the veil of, they don't like me. They don't look at yourself in reality. Do you understand? This is just as bad a bondage as a man who smokes cigarettes. Do you understand? Self-pity is an addiction. You would criticize and make fun of our young people in the world today that have meth and have to have dope and people that are hooked on a prescription medicine. Oh, they're addicted. They're addicted. Self-pity is just the same. It's an addiction. People have to have it. They have to have the acknowledgement, the recognition, and it's like a fix. And once they get a fix and somebody makes over them and somebody feels sorry for them, then they're all right for a while and then that fix runs out and then they gotta have another and another and another. Well, it is compulsory behavior. Of course, they think the problem is everybody else. People never acknowledge them. They never make over all their great gifts. When the problem is the need in them. They constantly want all that. Well, glory. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Whew. My. While other symptoms can be as dramatic as compulsive gambling, criticizing, overeating, or viewing pornography. Do you understand many of these things? Viewing pornography is not so much just to satisfy a sexual gratification. It's something in the mind of that individual. Well, glory. The actual physical change, detoxing, creates in our thought lives can unlock the mentally imposed chains that bind us to our compulsive behaviors and the unsatisfactory circumstances we find ourselves in. Can I go a bit farther? I was going to, no matter what your answer was. It was really nice of you to say I could. There are only two types of emotions. Now let's look at this and we'll try to get some affirmation so we don't run out of time. Each with their own anatomy and physiology. Love and fear. All other emotions are variations of these. Now remember, only two main emotions. Love and fear. Out of the love branch comes emotions of joy, trust, caring, peace, contentment, patience, kindness, gentleness. All of that comes out of the love branch. Now listen what comes out of the fear branch. Fear-based emotions include bitterness, anger, hatred, rage, anxiety, guilt, shame and agony, depression, confusion. These emotions directly affect our bodies because the amount of chemicals released is based on which group the emotions belong to. So rejection, all of these negative ones coming out, the fear-based emotion, all of them release negative chemicals in our body. What's this? These emotions directly affect our bodies because of the amount of chemicals released. It's based on which group the emotion belongs to, either the love-based or fear-based group. Obviously, weeding out emotions based on fear will greatly detoxify your thought life. In fact, how about how to spell when I read this? Researchers have even identified a neural circuit in holding learned fear in check. So they have learned that there is a way that we can hold learned fear, treated now that we've been taught this way and feared whatever it is all of our life, but it can be brought in check. Now believe me, the devil don't want you to grasp this. He wants you to believe that that's impossible, and that if a doctor tells you you've got a bad mammogram, you got this, that, and another. He wants you to let go of this learned fear. Your mama died with breast cancer. Your grandmother so-and-so. So that fear automatically, that ant will crawl out in your head and release in your body cortisol, adrenaline, all these other things, and flood your body. And your poor little face becomes drowning in cortisol. Many of y'all believed for years that I'm a nut. Now you're totally convinced I am. But at least I'm on the right tree. Now watching what happens whenever each of us, now remember, bride or not bride, sinner, saved, lost, whatever you are. When we experience love emotions, our brains and our bodies function differently, betterly, actually, than when we experience fear emotions. The negative fear-based emotion forced the body into backup. Everybody gets out their AR-15. Everybody gets on their SWAT team. Everybody grabs their black helmet, the glasses, the goggles, the two-way radios. We're all going to code talk. This is what happens in your body. The body releases all this backup stuff. Somebody's out to get us. All right, let's go into defense mode now. So all the love emotions and all the love chemicals are backed way away. And they are AR-15s have silenced all the laughs and the smiles and the laughter. Now the body's being defended. How? Because the doctor told you that? No, not just because the doctor told you, but because you let what the doctor say go into your mind, attached to this feeling, and released all these chemicals and call this war. When it's entirely possible that he got your file messed up with another woman. And he'll call you back next Friday and say, I really am sorry, but that wasn't you after all. Then you feel like walking down there smacking him in the face. Because you ain't been able to eat a bite all week. Your stomach's been tore all to pieces. Come on, who's sat there looking at me? Now watch. Lord Jesus. Whenever this moves, the body of the backup to hold the fear in check, which is not the ideal, not the first choice. Science? Science and the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I'll stand on the promise of the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. So science and the Bible teach us not to fear. The fact is, although you are completely unaware of the mechanisms by which it happens, thought formation and emotional expression are always tied to a specific flow of chemicals in your body. In a nutshell, emotions bring the whole body into a single purpose. You see? You understand, friends? You understand? So thoughts alone won't do it. But thoughts, then transmitters, then emotions and hormones. It all brings the body to one purpose. And if it's a release of fear, what if you could release love, joy, peace? That the doctor may pull out the mammogram, that the doctor may pull out the MRI, whatever more, and say, Mr. Babb, I hate to tell you, but this is what showed up in your test. Thank you, doctor. I really appreciate it very much. I'm grateful for everything that you're able to do. But I believe there's a higher power. Oh, yes, sir, of course. Now, we do too. But now, you've got to be realistic about this. I am being realistic, and I have refused to let you allow my hypothalamus to operate your voice operated. I want my medulla to be operated by the main medulla fan. I want him to release to me some divine energy. I need some input from him. I appreciate what you're saying, but I ain't accepting my death warrant as of yet. For the amount of information that you folks have received in this doctor's visit today, each of you will be billed $5,475.32. Please pay on your way out. Children, what value could we put on these things? You believe what you want. I believe we are hearing life-changing things. I know we are. I've got testimony after testimony from South Africa, from here in our own church, from all over the world, Canada, everywhere, of people's lives who's been transformed. By you, Brother Donnie? Goodness, no, I couldn't transform a flea. But by His Word. His Word. And you allowing it to work in your heart. Remember, faith without works is dead. You must discipline yourself. Sort through your thoughts. When something tells you you're not loved, you're not appreciated, you're not wanted at the church, what you want to do is take that voice to the fact room and set him down and say, now I want you to prove this to me. I refuse to accept this and make this part of who I am. I want you to prove the facts. Prove to me Brother Donnie does not love me. Prove to me I'm not welcome at Happy Valley. Prove it! And if you can't prove it, then shut up. I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about you talking to your thoughts. When you go to demanding evidence, you'll find a lot of what we've put stock in ain't nothing but half-truths. Some of them ain't even half. Then go to picking your thoughts selectively. Did the picture work? We got the picture. Picking your thoughts selectively. And sorting through what you want to become permanently part of who you are. And those that you do not associate with who you are, you reject them. You do not attach emotions to them. You refuse to allow your hypothalamus to charge this thought. You refuse to allow your adulama to adulamite. I imagine some of these medical folks, they just have a role when I go through all these terms, you know. I'd rather spend my time learning about all that than the correct pronunciation. I I want you to look at this picture. All these little trees that you see is actually brain images of thoughts. The one that this doctor's finger is pointed to here is a bad memory that has so many emotions, so many chemicals attached to it. That's why when a person would relay that, maybe it's a sexual something that happened to him, maybe it's bawled out by a teacher, maybe it was who knows what it was. But this is what it looks like in the brain when the images are made. These other things are thoughts. Look how tall some of them are. Look how short some of them are. What determines it? The amount of chemistry that you release. Some of them, we build them bigger. We got gigantic trees in our forest. Gigantic. And they're taking all the canopy of the sun away from the thoughts that should really be important. I wonder how many of them I've got. They're so dark and so black and so smutty. And they're knocking off the rays of the sunlight off the forest floor to keep others from coming up. This man hurt me. This man done me. And this preacher done this. This one done that. But do you know that by being able to detox your brain, you actually have the ability to work on past memory. Not just future. Not just present. But the past. To where it does not affect you like it did. Praise the Lord. You say that's crazy. Don't tell me it's crazy. I've done been doing it before I even knew about it. I've done been working on memories with other people. I've been doing that for a long time. I just didn't realize I could actually do it. Man, now that I know I can do it, look out, devil. Here I come with a chainsaw. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now listen, friend, this is the amazing thing. God don't do this. The devil don't do this. We do. Can't you see why when bad things happen to us and things that tear us all to pieces, one of the worst things we can do is keep thinking on those things. Just keep thinking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just keep thinking and thinking, thinking and thinking. You know what you're doing? You're building. You're building. Adding more branches, more girths, more heights. You're sending chemicals to this thought. You're building a case. And the worst one it'll be against is you. You know, they say for people who spread their mind, maybe we'll get into it next week, people who give their mind and they say, I'm going to give so-and-so a piece of my mind. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to tell them this, that, and other. They say it is so much more harmful for the person that is doing that than it is the person that receives the chastisement. Because the person who's going to do it has given so much thought into what they're going to say. They've sat around and they've thought about it so much and how they're going to say this and how they're going to punctuate that, how they're going to say it. And they've sent so many chemicals to this prepared speech that their body has shaped all of this and that little 10-minute bawling out. And it may help to hurt the other people's feelings and they'll walk away. I don't understand why Brother Gary said that to me. Well, I don't know what he... But hey, let me tell you something. They ain't near the one that was hurt near as bad as the person who done the expression. I think after this series, I'm going to turn this church into a monastery. Well, we all don't say near as much. We just hummers. No wonder the Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Just bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, I want to say to you today how sorry I am. Lord, for all of my trees in my forest that I've built on that have been no benefit to me, no edification, brought no honor to the kingdom, not made life any easier for me or anyone else. And I've learned myself a long time ago. You know, I'm a loner and I get by myself and I go to thinking about things. Sometimes it's one of the worst things I can do. And Monday after a weekend, in times past, I've tore my sermons to shreds
The critics I have on the internet and the critics I have in the message are nothing compared to me. I tear it apart from the beginning to the end. And I go to thinking, I wish I hadn't said that, and I wish I'd said it this way. How come I didn't say that? How come I said this? And how come? But I've learned, Lord. I've learned. Whenever my thoughts go to going in that way, or church troubles, or all kinds of other situations, to turn on the prophet, sometimes I don't actually need to hear a sermon, sometimes I need to hear music, because the music will affect my spirit in a different way, so I'll turn that off. But I found one of the worst things I can do is have total silence in the background, and my thoughts just rage and rage and rage. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm learning. I'm finally learning. Help each of us, dear God, I pray. Thank you for sending us these things, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for sending Brother Branham to tell us about it years ago. I'm grateful, Lord, that doctors and all these other people are breaking into it. Because, Lord, I wouldn't want just our church or our message folks to be benefited. I feel so sorry for the poor world. They have so many addictions. They're so unhappy in life. I feel so sorry for them, Lord. If they could get a little help through a doctor or a physiologist or somebody like that, I'd want it to be so. I wish I could just go through life and make everybody's life a little bit easier. I know I can't do that, but if I can at least affect those that I come in contact with. So, Lord, I'm grateful that science and all these other people are broke into it. Maybe there'll be some of these poor suffering mortals that'll be able to have life a little bit easier. Some of them won't enjoy the rapture. Some of them will never get to walk down streets of gold because they choose not to go that way. But if they could have life itself just a little bit easier. But Lord God, we want to thank you today because we can take this and apply it naturally and physiology and physically and psychologically and all that sort of thing. But then we've got another law that works in us, the new birth. And we want to take this, Lord, not for new cars and new houses and bigger businesses, but better Christians, more consecrated, more obedient, more loving. Grant it to us, Lord. Grant it, Lord God. Is that your desire today? Sing for us, hey.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more that I surrender,
oh yes, Lord,
the lighter, my Lord.
Want to surrender your own toxic thoughts.
The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I love you.
Oh, let's sing it, saints, and worship Him together as we do. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh, the more that I surrender,
yes, Jesus. Oh, the sweetness of
surrender.
The sweetness
my
of
Lord.
Surrender, Lord God.
Oh, the more that I release myself, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love
God,
you
more. Once again. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release
my past on,
the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, the lighter my load, the more that I release myself, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Sir.